Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs and I want to thank you this morning for joining me. Let us get started as always with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you, to give you praise and to give you all glory and honor. We thank you for this day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, this morning I pray this Colossians prayer over myself and all those under the sound of my voice. From the day that we heard of it, I have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We've been looking at the covenant of peace, or the covenant of shalom, as the Bible would put it. Our foundation scripture, of course, is taken from Ezekiel 37:26, where God says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will give blessings to them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. That is a promise that God is giving to you and I. It is a promise that we, you know, he wants to make a covenant of peace or a covenant of shalom. Yesterday we looked at an account in the New Testament of the lady that with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, and we discovered that the word shalom, that is, or the word peace or whole, that is used in Mark 5 concerning when Jesus spoke to the lady and told her that your faith has made you whole. Basically, he was saying that, you know, using the word shalom, but here in Mark chapter 5, that word was sozo, the Greek word sozo. Amen. And so this Greek word sozo, because the New Testament, some of the words are in Hebrew, but mostly it is written in the Greek. And so it's translated from the Greek. So the Greek word sozo, like I said yesterday, has many possible meanings, including safe and sound, healed, delivered, made whole, rescued, restored, and saved. So this is what Jesus said to this woman, that her faith is what had made her, you know, receive, or had made her sozo, basically, or her faith had made her enter into shalom, into a place of peace where there was nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, mostly was translated from the original Hebrew. And in the Old Testament, you'll find where in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, God says in King James Version, he says that I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Amen. He promises that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What he's actually saying there, those two words, perfect peace, means shalom, shalom. So meaning that I will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind stayed on me. Amplified Version uses the word in Isaiah 26 verse 3. It says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So before I go further, I have my Strong's Concordance here, and it's important that you have this. You have a Strong's Concordance if you want to be able to understand some of the Hebrew meanings or Greek words to fully understand, because you know the translation, sometimes things can get lost in translation and you wouldn't get the full understanding of what that scripture is saying or what Jesus was saying or what God was saying in the Old Testament if you do not take time to look through the, studying it basically from the original Hebrew. If you don't have a Hebrew Bible, the Strong's Concordance will help you. So in my Strong's Concordance, the word shalom is actually coming from the root shalem. But in Strong's, we'll just look today at it's Hebrew 7965. So it'll say H7965. That's the number in Strong's Concordance if you have a Strong's. And so it says shalom or shalom from, you know, of course we have it in 7-9. It also tells us another place where we can find it is H7999. Well, H7999 is right there. Let's start with that. It says salam. It's a primitive root. So that's really what they call salim. It's a primitive root to be safe in mind, body, or estate. Figuratively, to be causatively, make or completed, by implication, to be friendly, by extension, to reciprocate in various applications, make amends, end, make an end, finish, full, give again, make good, pay, repay, pay again, make peace, make to be at peace, peaceable, that is perfect, perform, prosper, make prosperous, recompense, render, requite, make restitution, restore, reward, surely. So we see that the root word, it covers quite a lot of stuff. So shalom is not just the peace that we think of, just, you know, peace from war when you read the Old Testament. Now let's go back to our, you know, the word. So I was reading there from 7999. So 7999, which, you know, when you start by going to 7965, looking up the word shalom, it tells you that the root, it's this word here, shalom, is taken from the root shalim, you know, and it tells us that all that stuff, that so what shalom means is that there'll be restitution, you'll prosper, or make prosperous, or be peaceable, you'll be paid or repaid, you know, there'll be perfectness, you'll be rewarded, there'll be recompense, you'll be repaid, pay again, make peace, make good, finish, full, make amends. Now let's go back to our original 7965 and see what that says. It says to be well, figuratively well, happy, friendly, also abstractly welfare, that is health, prosperity, peace. So that takes me back to 1 John, just those three words right there, health, prosperity, peace. It takes me to 1 John 3, where God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What is that talking? God says then that I desire for you shalom. I desire for you that you have, you know, prosperity, you know, in every area of your life. I desire that you be well, you be whole. You know, when he says he wants us to be, you know, when he says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. So this one is telling us that is health, prosperity, and peace as your soul prospers. So that's the word shalom that he uses there. And then here it says, do, familiar, fair, favor, friend, great, health, good health, peace, perfect peace, such as be at peace, peaceable, peaceably, prosper, prosperity, prosperous, rest, safety, safe, salute, welfare, well, all is well, be well, holy. So this takes me just using the understanding what this is telling me is then, you know, just out of, if you go to Isaiah chapter 3, and I'm still talking about the covenant of peace, but I want us to really have this background and understand what it means when God says he wants us, you know, he's making a covenant. And remember, we said a covenant is a two-way street. It's not just one way. God is the one who initiates the covenant, and we are the ones who are the beneficiaries of this covenant. And so he says, I will make a covenant of peace with them, meaning we have to enter into this covenant. There's a way to access it, but we've got to understand this. So here in Isaiah 3, one of the favorite scriptures that I have there is verse 10. It says, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. So what does that mean? When it says, because we just read that shalom means all is well, or, you know, it shall be well. So meaning that, say to the righteous that it shall be shalom with them. That's what he's saying there. That means there'll be nothing missing. There'll be nothing broken, nothing lacking, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. So say to the righteous, well, you and I are the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And he bore our sins and our sicknesses, and therefore we were made righteous through, you know, his shedding of blood. And so because of that, well, the Lord says, say to them that it shall be well. Well, that's why you'll find that they greet each other in the Hebrew by saying, you know, Jewish people most times greet each other, shalom, whenever they meet each other, shalom, shalom. Well, be well, be at peace, you know, be whole, be made whole. You know, when Jesus was saying be made whole, you know, to the woman with the issue of blood, and in other instances where Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, he was saying your faith has caused you to enter into shalom, into peace. Amen. And you've entered into this covenant of peace. Now, in that covenant of peace, not just wholeness, you know, even the people with leprosy, especially with the one I like is the woman with the issue of blood, because the Bible starts off by telling us how she had lost all her money by going to see these physicians of her day, and she didn't get any better. And so it said, the Lord says, you know, and so we were told, you know, we're told that, yes, you know, at the end, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. So her faith caused her to enter the covenant of shalom. You know, not only was she made whole by, you know, in her body, you know, but she was also recompensed. She was restored. She was, you know, she was paid back. Whatever the enemy stole through her her bodily sickness, she was restored, all her money that she lost. And so that, again, is talking about entering this place of shalom. In fact, in Amplified, it says, go into peace. It didn't say go in peace. The Amplified translates it from the Hebrew, go into peace. So go into shalom. Amen. And so also there's an account in the Bible in 2 Kings, you know, chapter 4. Normally we'll read, you know, I've used both of them to minister, but let's look at the second. The first one is where the wife of the prophets of Elisha, you know, her husband died and left her in debt. When you connect that story and that's the first part of the story. And then, you know, this woman did, you know, at the end of it, she believed the prophet and everything worked well. She got out of debt. That is also talking about the covenant of shalom. You know, God got her out of debt, you know, because she needed to be whole. And the people that her husband had left, you know, her debtor, the creditors, she said the creditors have come. Those creditors also needed to be repaid, because we saw the word repaid. So that means they needed to enter, you know, they needed shalom. So shalom is also repaying. And so we see that it's God's will for us to repay our debts. You know, otherwise the people that we get debt, like in this situation, why the Lord helped her and did for her this miracle was because not only was it that they would stress her out or take her kids away from her. In fact, had they taken her children away from her, she wouldn't be in a place alone in her home. she wouldn't be in a place of peace, because then there was something missing. When there's something missing from your life, you're not in a place of shalom. When something is broken, when something is lacking, you've not entered that place of shalom, that place of peace. And so here, the people, the creditors, the reason why they came to harass her for after her husband had died was because they were missing something. They were not whole as well. And so God wanted both parties to be whole. And so here, again, we see shalom taking place. Then we go on to the next story where this Shunammite woman, we're not going to read it all, but you can look at it yourselves when you have time. 2 Kings chapter 4. So we have this Shunammite woman where in Shunem, where she was rich and influential, and she would insist that the prophet Elisha would pass by her whenever he, you know, was in town. She would ask him to stop over at her house to eat, and she would prepare a meal for him. And one day she had a revelation and said, look, she said to her husband, this man is a holy man of God who passes by continually. So this was a, you know, something that happened all the time. He didn't just come once a year. He was there constantly. And so she says, let's make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed and a table. Pretty much, let's prepare a room for him where he can stay. You know, so they added a room to their house or wherever where he could stay instead of having to walk by. You know, so if he's in town, let him stay here. You know, we'll take care of him. Let him finish his ministry and then he can go on. So one day he came after they had completed that chamber and he stayed there. And so he was with his servant Gehazi. And Gehazi, you know, the man of God said, you know, this woman in verse 12, call, you know, he says, call this Shunammite woman. When he called her, she stood before him and he said to Gehazi, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army? Remember, the Bible says in the Gospels that he who receives a prophet in a prophet's name will receive a prophet's reward. And so this is what exactly Elisha was doing. This woman had gone out of her way to you know, take care of him and his servant, you know, not only prepare a meal, but now she had prepared a place for him to stay so that he didn't have to take this long journey. So, of course, he's wanting to release this anointing, release this prophet's reward upon her. And he says, what can be done for her? Does she want us to speak to the king? Does she want us to, you know, does she want us to do something for her? So she answered, she says, well, I dwell among my own people and they are sufficient, meaning I don't really have a need. You know, and of course, remember, she was rich and influential. Well, later, Elisha spoke to his servant asking, well, there's got to be something that she needs. Yes, she's rich, she's influential, she dwells among her own people. Nothing, you know, she feels like there's nothing lacking, but there's got to be something. And so Gehazi says, well, she has no child. Her husband is old. Well, that means she wasn't in a place of shalom, you know, where there was nothing missing, nothing broken. She was missing a child. Well, then he calls her and tells her that, you know, at this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. You know, of course, meaning that in the following year, first of all, she was like, oh, come on, man of God, because she was thinking in the natural. Come on, man of God, don't lie to me. You know, why was she thinking that way? Because she's looking at the fact that her husband is old all this time. She hasn't had a child. So she thinks it's an impossible looking situation. However, you know, a year later, she conceived and bore a son. And like the Bible says, verse 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son at that season, the following year, as Elisha had said to her. Of course, now time passes, the child grows, and he was out with his father. I'm thinking he's probably, you know, maybe around 8, 9, 10 or so. And he's out there with his father, you know, in the farm. And he you know, probably was hot. He gets a headache or something. He's not feeling well. He complains about his head. And the father sends him to sends the servant to take him to his mother. When they take the boy to his mother, the mother said, you know, takes him on her knees until noon, and then he died. Now, that's the reason I'm thinking his age must be around maybe 8, 9, 10 or so, because you wouldn't put a teenager on your knees necessarily. Anyhow, so she takes this boy, you know, she holds him on her knees and then he dies. Well, what she does immediately, she takes him up and lays him on the bed of the man of God. The upstairs, the room that she had prepared for the man of God, where she received the prophetic word, where the promise was made, she takes him back there to where the promise of May was made. Because you remember, she had said, man of God, do not lie to me. She didn't ask for it, but the man of God released this upon her. Anyhow, so she takes him there and she calls to her husband and says, give me one of the best servants, you know, one of the servants and one of the donkeys, so I can go quickly to the man of God and come back. Well, you know, you don't, and back in those days, you didn't just go to the man of God unless there was something going on. So the husband is like, why are you going to the man of God today? It's not a new moon, it's not a Sabbath. Why would you go today? And she said, it shall be well. In Amplified, it says it'll be all right. Well, what she said to him is, shalom. You know, she does not answer him by saying, oh, the child has died, this and that. She just answers, shalom. Then, of course, she goes and she tells the driver to just, hey, ride quickly. Don't even stop. Don't talk to anybody and all that stuff. So when Gehazi sees her coming, he tells the man of God that, you know, the Shunammite woman is coming. And, Elisha says, well, go and meet her. Find out. The question he asks, is it well with you? What was that? That was shalom. Is it well with your husband? Is it, you know, is everything whole with you? Is everything, you know, are you in a place of shalom? Is your husband in a place of shalom? Is your child in a place of shalom where there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking? And her answer was shalom. She did not say anything else. She spoke what she wanted to happen. She said, it is well, shalom. When she, of course, came to the mountain, that's when she was at the servant of God's feet. And she, you know, Gehazi wanted to pull her away. And he said, no, leave her alone, for her soul is bitter and vexed. And the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then that's when she said, did I desire, son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then, of course, you know, we know the story of how, you know, the Gehazi was sent to go check on the child. Nothing happened. And when he said, before in verse 29, it says, if you meet any man, do not salute him. Meaning, don't stand there and start, you know, sharing this greeting of shalom. That salute there means shalom. You know, don't stand there. And if he salutes you and says, greets you and says shalom to you, don't answer. Just go on. And so, until they, you know, the mother of the child, of course, says, as the Lord lives, as my soul lives, I won't leave you. And this is what on Gehazi goes, meets Elisha and said, the child hasn't awakened. When Elisha gets there, he goes in, he prays to the Lord. I'm assuming he prayed and said, Lord, didn't we enter a covenant of shalom? This woman, you know, not, something is lacking. It's not shalom in this household. It's not well in this household. You know, and so, of course, he goes into the house, lays on her, the child, as God told him what to do. He laid on that child's face, you know, his whole body. He put his mouth on his eyes on the eyes and hands on hands, and stretched himself, embraced the child's flesh, and the flesh became warm. Then he returned, you know, he returned and walked in the house to and fro, went up again and stretched himself again, and the child sneezed 7 times and then opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and told him to call the Shunammite woman and said to her that, you know, he gave her back his child. And, you know, the child was fine at this point. What happened? The child received shalom. You know, the child was made whole. You know, just like we see with the woman with the issue of blood. So one of the things that's important about this covenant of peace, and we'll be getting into it next, as we go forward in these next couple of days, is that every one of us have, you know, the right to enter this covenant of peace with God. He says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. That's a covenant of shalom. And this covenant of shalom, you know, covers everything that we saw in Hebrews, you know, in the concordance or in the Greek, what is written as sozo, what we saw in Strong's Hebrew 7965 and 7995. It covers all that. If there's anything, if there's repayment that is due to you, that's shalom. You know, God wants you to be whole. God wants us all to be whole. He doesn't want anything to be missing in our lives. And as we obey the terms of the covenant, because he says, I will enter a covenant of peace with them. You see, that I will make a covenant of peace with them. And it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will give blessings to them and multiply them. So he doesn't start off by saying he'll give us blessings. He says, I'll make a covenant of peace. Now, a covenant is stronger than a promise. It's like, you know, this covenant, you know, it is a vow that cannot be broken, you know, once the required conditions have been met. If you recall, in Psalm 89, verse 34, God says, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So the covenant is a strong, you know, contract. Amen. It is, it's eternal. He says, it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant. So it's an eternal covenant. In Jeremiah 33, 20 through 21, we saw that yesterday. The Bible says, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that they should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon the throne, his throne, and with the Levites and the priests. So once you locate what the covenant demands, in the, whatever that covenant is that, and what the conditions are, and you begin to do or meet the conditions of that covenant, you will find that, you know, as you obey those covenants, victory will be guaranteed. Your case, whatever that case is that you have, is settled. You see, everyone who obeys the terms of the covenant becomes a bona fide beneficiary of God's blessings. God is not a respecter of persons. He will not bless one above another if we're walking equally in the covenant and meeting the conditions that are required of us. Our obedience and absolute trust and total dependence upon God are what matter the most. We find in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, in the King James, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Meaning that you're not going to experience the drought that others may be experiencing. You're not going to experience lack that others are going to be experiencing, because you've entered into a covenant with God. I'll read it to you from Jeremiah, from Amplified Version, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. It says, most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. So even in the year of drought, when everything else seems to be drying up, you know, when you've entered this covenant, you know, or you're walking, or you meet the covenant demands, any covenant that God has for us, whether it's the, you know, covenant of prosperity, covenant of peace, or, you know, the covenant of favor, or, you know, whatever, of protection, whatever covenant you enter into with the Lord and you meet the demands of that covenant, you will not, you know, walk in, regardless of what's going on, you will not partake of what's going on out there. This is the realm of walking in the covenant, is the realm of unending breakthroughs. Amen. And so we will continue tomorrow by God's grace to look at this covenant of peace, this covenant of shalom. How do we access it? You know, you know, how do we enter into it? Because we saw with the woman with the issue of blood that Jesus said, go into shalom. Although it's, we read the translations now say, go in peace. But it says, go into shalom. Amen. And so I pray that you've been blessed by this teaching this morning. And tomorrow we'll pick up from here where we now have, you know, we find out from the word, you know, what are, you know, what are the benefits, first of all, of this covenant? Each, anytime you sign a contract, you want to know what are the conditions and what are the benefits. So we'll look at that and then also find out how do we sign in, you know, how do we access this covenant of peace? And he says, because it comes with blessings and multiplication. It says, I'll give them a, make a covenant of peace. It shall be an everlasting one, and I will give the blessings out to them and multiply them. So I'm sure that would interest many of us. I pray for you that God will meet you at your very point of need, and I declare over you, shalom, shalom. God bless you. Bye-bye.